But as a kid, you used to go up there and muck around in the water and, you know, did all the things, you know, kids don't do today.
We used to do that. We made our own fun as kids, didn't we?
Yes, we did.
I don't know about you. You're younger than me, but I used to play cowboys and Indians. Did you do any of that?
Of course we did.
Now it's not politically correct.
We'd gather on the streets with all the other kids in the streets and play all different bloody games.
Cricket out on the street?
Yep.
Billy carts?
Oh, now you're going back.
No, that's right. I used to have billy carts, and that was a great thing, but you're right. We felt safe as well. We could play out on the street. You know, the occasional car would go past, you'd get out of the way, grab the box, you know, the old fruit box, and, you know, and play a bit of cricket. But times have changed, haven't they?
I think you hit the nail on the head. We did feel safe. You know, you could leave the doors open and do all those things.
Yeah.
You know, there's very few places in Australia now that, you know, you can feel that and, you know, don't worry about things, but that's not the case.
I always wanted to grow up and be in the media. What did you want to do as a kid? What was the aim you had? I want to do this and I'm going to get out of this western suburbs and I'm going to make a fortune.
Well, back in those days and even today, I've always wanted to be a pilot.
A pilot?
A pilot.
And you never got your licence?
Or again, due to family circumstances, I left school at a very young age. So unfortunately, I didn't have the opportunity to get the education I needed to go on to do what I wanted to do.
So it'll never be, ladies and gentlemen, this is Kim Rowley, your pilot speaking. It'll never go there. Is that a little disappointment in your life?
Yep, I'd say it is, very much so, because I love flying. I think it's just the ultimate, I really do.
Did you get any sort of license? Did you go solo?
No, not at all. The only flying experience, I did 21 years in the Army, and I was in a helicopter squadron in Townsville. So being the job I had as the admin officer, I had the opportunity to get up quite a bit in the helicopter, so, you know, get to know the pilots. So a lot of them had dual control, so, you know, I did learn a bit there, and it was fantastic.
It was fantastic, yeah. I went solo. I didn't go and get my license, but I went up in the Cessna and got the lessons, and one day the pilot got out and said, right, off you go, and I did my touch and goes and all that. It's a weird experience when you're sitting up there on your own and you're thinking, well, you've got to get back down now or it's the end of it. And I did, but I didn't go on and get my license, but I'm glad I did the solo. I had sweaty palms doing that, and you do get a little scared in doing it, but at least I learned to fly. And I'm always thinking, one day I'm on a flight and they're saying, is anybody could fly this plane?
That'd be scary.
I'd be scary if I was in control. But what is weird, would you know, that TAA and ANSET both had Paul Macon pilots by the name of Paul Macon. And they used to come on to the speaker and say, this is Captain Paul Macon, and we're flying, and people would go, oh no, you know, this is the end of us. They were thinking it was me. But anyway, okay, you didn't do that. What did you do?
Well, again, in the early days, I didn't know what I wanted to do. And my brother-in-law at the time just come back from Vietnam. And he somehow said, why don't you join the Army? So I thought, yeah, why not? So I did.
So were you a mechanic engineer? Were you?
I was an engineer.
Engineer, yep.
So road construction, demolitions, all that. So I did 3 years in the Army, and in that time I also got married. And then I thought, no, this is not for me, so I got out. So I was out for about 6 months, and during that time, I said to my wife, I miss it. So I took the opportunity, re-enlisted, stayed there for another 18 years. It was fantastic.
Yeah. Wow. And that was in Townsville?
No, I was based in Sydney, Melbourne, Townsville. Even did a stint in New Guinea for 2 years, so that was a great period in our lives.
I visited New Guinea in the 60s, and what a magnificent place New Guinea is.
It is. It is fantastic. It's a shame. Well, it's not a shame. That's part of their upbringing, is their tribal laws and everything else. But, you know, it's just a fantastic. And it can be one of the most tourist magic spots in the world, given the opportunity.
Absolutely. We went to Wee Wak. What a beautiful place Wee Wak is.
That's where I was based. I was based up just further west of Wewak in a place called Vonimo. It's on the Indonesian border.
Wow. Yeah. It could be really something, that place up there, but there are always troubles up there, particularly in Port Moresby at the moment with the gangs.
Oh, again, it's the Highlanders who come down from the Highlands looking for a job. They don't get a job. They can't go back to their village because they would be ashamed.
Mm.
And, yeah, it is a shame.
It is a shame. So then when you... So how did you end up at the tin shed at the Combined Club, sitting in that office and sort of, you know, sort of getting all of this stuff going?
Well, when I got out of the Army, I wanted to get into golf club management, which, again, I had the opportunity, which I did. So I managed a couple of golf clubs in Sydney over the years.
Mm-hmm.
And then...
good grounding.
Yes, very much in Sydney. Mm. And then one day I went to work and said, I don't want to be here. So I threw the towel in, took 6 months off. Then my wife said, well, you know, what do we want to do? And I said, I don't know. We've always talked about going to the Gold Coast. So we packed the bags and went up there, and somehow we ended up in the Brisbane, not the Gold Coast. So
right.
It wasn't what we planned. So I managed to get back into golf club management on the Sunshine Coast.
Right.
And fell in love with the place.
Yes.
Yeah.
So how did you end up in Port
Douglas?
How
did I get up here?
Yeah.
Or again... took some time off again, and a friend of mine was up here at the time. They advertised for the position. He come down because he was actually living here in one of the resorts, and he come down and basically got the job. And I applied for the job because I just wanted to get out of this, you know, away from the hustle and bustle.
Job at the tin shed?
Yeah, I applied.
Yep.
And in fact, he actually sent me a letter to say I missed out,
which
was funny. Month later, he rings me. He said, are you still interested? Heather's crook and I've got to go back to Brisbane. So I popped up, walked in that door, and it just blew me away.
What is it about walking through? You say it blew you away. What blew you away?
Again, just the water, the view and everything else. It's just amazing.
It is a gem, isn't it?
It is. And you know, anyone that walks in there and don't open their eyes and you know, really see what they're looking at, it's a shame.
Talking to Kim Rowley, the boss around at the Tin Shed, the Combined Club. Yeah, you're absolutely right. And you look at that view out there on the deck. Some days Marion and I will have lunch there or something. And you look out and you say, you know, aren't I a blessed person to live in this part of the world? We are blessed, aren't we?
We certainly
up
are.
Up here.
Well, with that blessed, I've actually bought a house and I'm a bit more stable up here now. So
more stable.
Stable. Well, being in the Army, it's hard to get stable.
Yeah. You seem to me, when I first met you, you're a very disciplined person. Now, would you say the Army sort of that instilled in you, that discipline?
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Mm.
And again, at times I think it, you know, you either love me or hate me because... 21 years in the Army and having that upbringing, you know, it instills things in you that normal people don't have. And I think at times it probably hurts me a little bit and mm-hmm. It probably betrays me as a different person than I really am.
Yeah, what sort of person are you really?
Mild, friendly. I don't know. It's a good question. I've never really sat down and analysed myself.
Mm. But it's worth looking at, you know, because you do come across, you have a tough exterior, but our dealings with you have always been straightforward. I suspect you don't suffer fools gladly.
No. That's being honest, I don't. And,
no, I know you don't.
You know, and as you said, the tough interior is only an exterior. Inside, I'm quite the opposite. You know, I cry at movies and things like that. So
now, listen, folks, listen what he's saying. Kim Rowley actually cries in movies. Well, so do I, and no. I'm not ashamed of it either.
Yep.
It means that we have an emotion. We have, we have a heart that makes. I mean, I cry in Lassie movies. I cry, and I'm going to go and see Dumbo down here. Can you imagine seeing Dumbo? You can imagine the sad stuff in that. But okay, so here we are. We're in the tin shed. It is 2019, and Kim Rowley a while back says, "Right, I'm going to go for council." So you'll be going for the elections next year. What prompted you to make that move?
Well, again, I think it's more from a business point of view. You know, the town to me is old and tired, and I understand that people like that village feel about things. But, you know, at the same time, we need to we need to encourage some growth, certainly in the business side of things, because we've got to create jobs. I feel sorry for these young ones coming out of Mossman High School after year 12. You know, what do they do? You know, so the parents either, they don't do anything, or the parents pull up stumps and move. And, you know, why? You know, so we've got to try and look at, from a business point of view, how we can encourage growth in that area, or in any area, to create more jobs for the young people.
Got some ideas?
As in?
Creating jobs, doing something about it.
Look, again, it probably gets back down to the council decision on the tin shed. You know, the town plan is the guideline for the current council and for future councils to work by. But to me, that's all it is a guideline. So I think decisions have got to be made for the best interests of the community and those living in the community. You know, I'd look back at that the old age centre that they were looking at on the other side of the highway. You know, I understand the town plan doesn't allow any development and things like that, but, you know, look from a business point of view, look what that would have done for this town.
Mm.
You know, it would have created jobs. It would have, you know, brought more spending in the town. And really, it would have allowed the more elderly people in this town more opportunities to stay here and not go somewhere else to you know, to live out their lives.
They've announced that the aged care over at Mossman's going ahead, which is good.
Oh, for sure. You know, we need a facility. In fact, we were talking about it at golf yesterday. We need a facility where a couple that still want to be independent can go into a unit or into a small house.
Yep.
But as a partner dies or as they get older where they can't be self-sufficient, they can just move across the road into a facility where they can be fed and cared for without moving.
So that'll be one of your priorities and your platform for going for council?
I'll certainly try and create jobs.
Yeah. Are you looking forward to the fight of trying to be elected?
I've always loved challenges, hence, you know, my army career. I was always striving to get to the next level, etc. And I achieved what I wanted to achieve in the army, and it's probably the same as managing clubs. There's always a challenge. You know, I could have come to the tin shed, accepted the job and just sat back and enjoyed the ride. But, you know, to me, it's still a challenge. And you know,
no fun in that.
No fun in that whatsoever.
That's for sure. It's like coming here and doing a radio station. There's lots of challenges. But you've got to do it. You have a target. And it never stops. It's not like, oh, we've reached that now. No, you just keep striving. And I appreciate that in you and your character. Now, you've won your fight with council after they gave the green light to the construction of a new upper floor at the existing club. That will mean a second story featuring a restaurant and deck will be part of the approved plans. Now, before we get to what your vision is for that, we hear that the decision by the councillors and Mayor Julia Loy overruled the recommendation by council staff that the development application be refused. Now, that's an interesting one.
Well, again, that's been the whole problem for the last 2 years, getting around the parking issue. You know, we carried out surveys, we got traffic reports, we did everything, and, you know, at this particular stage, we believe there was no traffic issues here. Obviously, Sunday mornings become a little bit of a problem.
Sure.
But the rest of the time, doesn't matter whether it's in the middle of the high season or in the low season, we believe at this stage there wasn't a traffic problem. But council's concern was that there is going to be a traffic issues in the future, and they didn't want to set the precedents in regards to approving ours. Mm. So, you know, that was an issue. But as I kept pushing, we are a community-based club. We're here for the members and the residents of the Shire. We're not, you know, Kim Rowley owning one of the pubs in town. And you know, they've got to look at it. Well, they had to look at it from a different angle.
That approval that came through yesterday, did that surprise you?
I'll say yes.
It did surprise you?
Yes.
Okay.
I won't say any more.
Okay. All right. Well, I won't push you on that. All right. What's your vision for this upper story? What's going to be there? What is the vision for it?
Well, again, what we hope to do is the inside area that we currently got upstairs with the big bar is to continue that halfway on the other side. Put a cafe up there where we can do snacks and coffee and things like that. So there'll be another area on the other side of the current bar which will be enclosed and joined the enclosed area we've got at the moment.
Right.
And then that'll the sail on the deck will come off. The deck will go out over where the sail is, and then the sail then will go up on the top level.
Ah, so you're talking about an elevated view as well.
Correct.
Goodness
me. The master plan is to take the deck right out to the end of the sail.
Wow. Because I often thought of that. You had that little side area there, but, you know, you didn't have facing that way apart from the lower floor. So that's interesting, isn't it? Now, does that mean change of food? Will it be a bit more upmarket? What?
Well, certainly won't be a change of direction in food. Look, we're a club and you know, it's people come to us because they expect, and I won't say club grub, but they expect quality meals at reasonable prices. So therefore, we've got to be mindful of how we set our menu. You know, we could certainly go a la carte, but, you know,
no,
it's not what we're about.
That's right. I've seen so many places go a la carte and they go down the gurgler because it's not what people expect there, the members. So how many members have you got? And we're taking in, of course, we must think about Mossman Golf Club as well. That's taken in. So how many members have you got at the moment?
As at last week, 5,628.
Wow. That's not bad. Yeah.
For a small club in a little regional town, it's not too bad at all.
Now, sometimes we forget the Mossman Golf Club, and they should not be forgotten because you got here the tin shed, and of course tourists can go there, locals go there, and it's very visual. Sometimes the Mossman Golf Club, not so visual. What do you say about the Mossman Golf Club and its contribution to what you do?
Look, the biggest thing, we're a sports club. Hence, therefore, you know, we've got to get back to what we're all about, having all these sports under our umbrella. You know, the golf club was a good mix for us. They were certainly heading into financial difficulties. So again, as a community asset, we thought it was good for us to take over the golf club and, you know. But for those residents or people up in the Shire who haven't played a game at Mossman Golf Club, I highly recommend it. The course is in great shape for a country course. You'll be hard to find something better.
Fantastic. I know you love your golf too, don't you?
Don't play enough. Twice a week's not enough.
So what's your handicap?
I'm down to 9.
No. That's not bad. That's not bad. You happy with that?
No.
He's never happy, you see. He needs to strive to make it better. All right, well, just finally, Kim Rowley, the club itself, what is the good work you do and continue to do every single day, every single week, every single month of the year?
Well, again, give back to the community, you know. And we do that by two ways. One is supporting local sporting clubs and not-for-profit organisations with our weekly raffles. Plus any other contributions that people ask for. So we support those who support themselves. And I think one of the biggest things is we support our members by improving our facilities and doing what we do to give back to our members, because that's who own the club.
Absolutely. Kim Rowley, thanks for coming along. It was great. The interview went probably a little longer than we had intended, but I just found it incredibly interesting talking to you. I think you're a very interesting person. Very much so.
Thanks very much, Paul.
And he's a bloody softie as well. See you, mate.